third Monday of May each year has become one of my favorite days of the year, if not my favorite day of the year. For it is on the third Monday of May each year that Pine Springs Camp, that wonderful place that I grew up as a kid learning about Jesus and the important things of God, holds a golf outing to raise money for camper scholarships, so that those who cannot afford to pay for camp can still get to go to that amazing place. They hold the golf outing every year, and have for many years now, at Latrobe Country Club in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. You may have heard of it. If you haven't, the only reason you might know about Latrobe Country Club is that it is the home course of the legendary golfer Arnold Palmer. Many of you have heard, I would imagine, of Arnold Palmer. It is the course where Arnold grew up. It's where he learned to play golf because his father served for many years as the superintendent of the grounds there at the country club. Arnold's main residence still is just across the street from the country club, and each year when we gather to play that round of golf, we often look for and often do see Arnold either in the clubhouse or driving around on the course. He is a staple there. We have seen him a few different times. This last year, as I was playing golf with the three guys I've been playing golf with for the last number of years, we were on hole number three, which is just by the entrance, the drive to the country club, right along the main road that leads to it. As we were teeing off, we saw a golf cart coming across the road, and we noticed that it was Arnold Palmer. We were like kids at Christmas suddenly. We would have probably stopped to say hello to Arnold, but just about the time he was crossing the street, one of the men in our group got a hold of a drive and turned it just a little too much to the left and found a windshield of a car that was coming our direction. That person pulled over, and with far more patience and understanding than I could ever imagine drumming up when my windshield was shattered before my eyes, got out of the car and started to get the information from the man in our group who had hit the ball, who would then have to take care of this with his insurance. So we missed the opportunity to say anything to Arnold that day. But just a few holes behind me were my wife, Ashley, and our good friend, Annie. They were up on hole number one. And it turns out they were just teeing off as Arnold was coming up around. And after they hit their shot, as he drove past, he yelled out to them, "Nice drive, ladies." So Arnold Palmer complimented my wife and her friend on their tee shots that day. Now, Ashley responded very nicely, "Thank you, sir." Annie, who was in the car with her, turned to Ashley with all sincerity and said, "Do you know him?" Ashley said, "Yes, that's Arnold Palmer." And all of a sudden, Annie wanted to turn around, drive over, and ask if they could take a selfie. Ashley knew that probably wasn't the best time to do that and passed on that opportunity. It was one of those moments where they were in the presence of somebody very famous, and Annie had no idea whatsoever until she was told. Perhaps that's happened to you before, too, where you have seen somebody and thought maybe you knew who they were, or maybe you didn't even know until somebody said to you, "Oh, that's so-and-so," and all of a sudden things were very different. Well, that's a little bit of what happened to the disciples in our story for today, in this famous story of the two disciples on their way to Emmaus. As Luke tells the tale, the Passover celebrations had concluded, and those who had made the pilgrimage to Jerusalem began the long trek home. Amongst those leaving town and headed home were two disciples of Jesus. It would be difficult, I think, to imagine their deep despair that day. The Messiah they hoped would redeem Israel had been tried and found guilty, and then crucified, and then just that morning, his tomb had been found empty. So step by step, they journey towards home, mostly in silence, we would imagine, but when they speak, trying to make sense of those last terrible days. Just 1 week before his intriguing entrance into the city on the donkey, the seeming fulfillment of prophecy. And then just a few days after that, hung on a cross and crucified. As they make their way down the road, they are joined by a stranger. And he asks them what it is that they are talking about. It is strange that he does not know, they think. Everyone had heard about what had happened to that rabbi from Nazareth. This guy must be from out of town. The two disciples, Cleopas and a friend, enlighten their new traveling companion. They tell him about the events of this past week. And in doing so, they reveal their identity as disciples of that one who was crucified. But strangely, their friend seems to understand more than they do. As they walk together, he speaks of prophecy and of history. He opens the scriptures to them as a skilled rabbi would. Their spirits are lifted as they listen and they remember. Their pace quickens. Eventually, the three men arrive at the village to which they were headed, and the stranger walks ahead as if he were going to go on. He doesn't want to impose or assume. But they urge him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." And so he obliges, and he enters the home. And they sit together at the table where stories are shared, where lessons are taught, and where fellowship finds its truest form. And then that stranger who joined them on the road, he takes the bread, and he blesses it, and he breaks it. And suddenly it's as if time is standing still. Cleopas and his friend, they've seen this before. The feeding of the multitudes by the shore, that upper room, the Passover meal. And they make the connection. It's him. But suddenly, he is gone. They had sensed it when he began to teach, but they didn't understand it then. They didn't recognize him then. Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us? So that same hour they got up and they returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions who were gathered together. They had to tell the other disciples that women were right. The tomb is empty, but for good reason. For he is risen. It is an incredible story, one of my favorites. It's easy to get lost in. It is rich with depth and with meaning. But most of all, this is more than a story in a land thousands of miles away, in a time thousands of years ago. Because you see, this is our story as well. It tells of our journeys and our walk of faith. For faith is a journey, it is not a destination, and we walk that journey, each of us, in and from a different place, sometimes changing with each step. Sometimes, like Cleopas and his friend, we have trusted traveling companions with whom we can talk or just simply be. But sometimes we feel like we are walking alone. Regardless, we are never fully alone. There is always another walking with us, opening the scriptures to us, and asking us questions, and breaking bread with us. The trick, of course, is recognizing who that other one is. Now, I'm not one who often plays the what-if game, but I can't help but wonder exactly what that, when I reflect on this story. What if these disciples had recognized Jesus immediately? Would he have disappeared immediately? Or would he have still walked with them and talked with them? And if so, how would they have heard him differently? Would they have even stopped to break bread, or would they have insisted on reversing course so they could show him to the others in that moment? What if they had known from the get-go? Remember, this is more than a story in a land thousands of miles away in a time thousands of years ago. This is our story as well. So what if we knew? What if we recognized more often than we do that we too walk with the risen Lord? That we too, when we break bread together, as we will in a few moments, do so with Jesus in our midst, in a very real way. How would this, all of this, be different? How would our lives be different? That, I believe, is the question for us today. As we make our own way back to our own Emmauses, will our eyes be open to the one who walks with us on that road? And if so, how will that change our journey? Knowing that not only is Jesus alive, that he is resurrected from the dead, but walking alongside of us on our own faith journeys. How will we act and talk and think differently, knowing that we do not walk alone, and that our traveling companion is none other than the Savior of the world? It occurs to me that if we were to truly recognize that, our walk would be different. Perhaps our destination would be different, and ultimately, the world would be different. Friends, make no mistake. That walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus was not the only stroll that Jesus has taken since he has raised from the dead. He walks still, at your side and at mine. And he breaks bread still, right here at this table in our midst, and in our kitchen, and in our dining room. On that very first Easter, when the women found the tomb empty, and then Cleopas and his friend were joined by a stranger on the road, that which was proclaimed at his birth, that he is Emmanuel, God with us, was confirmed for all time. For not even death could keep him away. And he longs ultimately to walk with you and with me and with all the children of God, and to open to us the scriptures and to break the bread, to show that for us, God is for us, that God loves us, that God is with us. For that is the good news of the gospel. This Easter and every day for Allison and for all who have been baptized, I urge you to find comfort and encouragement in that, and then to be sure to share it with others. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.